forever. Dog.
Classic cars, classic rock. All my favorite things are classics.
You know what my least favorite thing that's classic is? Classical music. Dun, 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 dun.
So for those of you who don't know, Tom is like, he hates stuff that snobs love.
I just like a hot dog. And
he likes a hot dog and he likes
ball game.
A really loud car honk honk. He likes, mm-hmm. Sometimes he likes to sit on the horn just to know that that sound comes from his butt.
Yeah. I like, while I don't have a car that has that, I like hearing it on other cars. It's enjoyable to hear on other cars.
It makes me so horny when a guy drives by my apartment building with a car that sounds like the Vietnam War.
Yeah, it's a real... It's the fast lane to Eros.
I love the smell of napalm in the Chelsea neighborhood I live in, is what I shout to them while I expose my bare bazooms.
I love cars that have crazy colors.
Yes.
Like a lemon color car that goes, and you're just like, why is that desirable? It seems like your car's broken.
It seems like a four-year-old got a lot of money. I think every time I see a car like that, I think of like, a bratty little rich boy that won the lottery and now you have to do what he says.
Yeah.
Like the kid in The Toy with Richard Pryor and Jackie Gleason.
Yeah, Scott Schwartz.
Scott Schwartz, speaking of erotic actor Scott Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful career to watch him grow up into a man who makes love from being a boy that doesn't.
Well, now, was he on camera getting down, or was he just like the guy saying, like, was he like the next door neighbor in these adult films, but didn't actually get down on screen?
I think he was getting down. And I don't know if he ever had the like behind the scenes moment, like Burt Reynolds. In Boogie Nights.
In Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
Brent, look up whether Scott Schwartz, star of the Jackie Gleason, Richard Pryor vehicle, The Toy, when he appeared in adult films, was he on camera doing the deed, or was he just like a mailman?
Calling the, I'm so sorry, Tom. Is that me? Is that you want me to do that?
What's that? Yeah, Brett.
Oh, got it.
Brett, could you please?
I like it when he stands up.
So sorry. Also, Tom, I wanted to let you know, Fast Lane to Eros is actually a great piece by Brahms. If you want to check that out, it might change your tune, so to speak, on classical music.
Sure.
Brahms. I thought I was okay with just one Brahm.
Yeah.
Now I have two.
Whenever I saw Brahms, all I thought about was Bratsch, that candy, Bratches.
Brax.
Brax.
Would you like some jelly bellies or would you like some Brax?
Yeah.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody, from the Double Threat family. And welcome to an episode of Double Threat.
Starring Tom Sharpling.
And Julie Klausner.
Plus.
Featuring Brent Boehm.
Oh, breaking news. I got an update on the Scott Schwartz question.
Yeah.
He totally was doing it, right?
This is just coming in on the wire right here. It says Scott Schwartz, who also was the kid who stuck his tongue to the Christmas, to the pole in a Christmas story, correct?
Yeah. Okay, oh, yeah. That's where he got the taste. Mm-hmm.
Years after his memorable double dog dare scene, Scott went on to perform in non-sexual roles in adult films. He managed porn actors, and after the millennium continued to rack up IMDb credit. Okay, that's just unrelated. But yeah, he non-sexual.
I call bull roar because I bet he had them edit out the good stuff after when he was writing this bio. He's like, what would sound classy?
So you think there's some footage out there of the kid from the toy as an adult getting busy?
Scotty's X-Rated Adventure. That's the name of an adult film, and he isn't in it making love. No thanks.
It does appear to be false advertising. This says to me he's in the movie in every sense, but apparently that's not the case.
Please. Oh my God, look at that cover to that thing. Just look at that.
Hello, I'm shopping for a marital aid.
Yeah.
What kind?
Yeah. I'm looking to kill the lust between me and my partner. Do you have any movies that will completely...
that will cauterize the wound?
Yeah. I think we have just the film for you. It's called Scotty's... Well, let me ask you. Are you familiar with the toy?
Starring Greedy Gretchen as Jackie Gleason's wife in that? You know, that was Greedy Gretchen.
Yeah. That was the great cast in that movie. It's a real fun premise, and it really aged well.
Honestly, it started out great.
Yeah, sure, that Jackie Gleason decides to own Richard Pryor for his son's amusement.
Give him as a gift.
Yeah. Boy, that's a great statement and an area that deserves to be explored.
Well, that's what Scotty says in Scotty's X-Rated Adventure.
You know what I say to that, Julie? I say, Scotty, don't.
Scotty, don't.
Scotty, don't.
Scotty, don't.
Scotty, don't. Remember that?
Don't. Scotty, don't. Yes, I remember that. I'm American.
Yeah. Well, it's a British film. It's an international film.
Mike Myers isn't really from England, Tom, just because he can do the accent.
No, it says international right in the title of the film, Julie.
So you go to your Blockbusters and you're looking for international films because you want to watch Goldmember?
I go and I say, do you have any cinema, any British cinema? And they're like, well, we have this movie here, International Man of Mystery.
So they're suggesting it to you.
And then, yes, I say, I'm looking for something also, maybe Dutch. And they're like, yes, you want Goldmember then.
So you are still renting your videos at the Dum Dum Hut.
Pretty much. I still go to the Dum Dum Hut and rent my videos. And then I'd love something Scottish. And then they're like, The Spy Who Shagged Me. You'll love this character.
Okay.
Fat bastard.
When you leave the Dum Dum Hut, do they give you free Dum Dums? And if so, what's your favorite flavor?
Grape.
And if not, what's your favorite flavor? Grape?
What they do is they wet them, not with their mouth. They dip them in a little glass of water.
Oh, no. I hate this.
They stick one in each ear.
Stop.
And then you're like, then they kick you out the door. They put one in your mouth, one in each ear, and then shove you out the door with you got dum-dum sticking out.
And then the person on the other side of the door says, I'm ready for your COVID test results. And they pull them out and like smash them onto a, they take the dum-dums out of your ears, put them in two little shot glasses.
Yeah.
What's in the shot glasses?
Then the guy.
Soda
the guy, pop? It's gin. It's gin in a shot glass. And then he puts the shot glass back and he drinks it. He goes, ooh, you got COVID. And then he drinks the next one. He goes, yep, that's COVID, all right.
I think it's a great idea for us to, quote unquote, test people for COVID if we ever, I don't know if we ever will do Double Threat Live. I really don't know because I haven't seen people like, rallying around the notion online.
No.
So as far as I'm concerned, we won't.
We but float it and then changes. We don't hear back. We don't hear back from the people on this.
So how is that supposed to make us feel? How is that supposed to motivate us to do anything for it? Because I was about to, you know, just brainstorm that we should have these quote unquote COVID tests at the door where we stick dum-dums in people's ears, yeah, then dip them in gin. Was it, did you say gin?
Gin. A shot glass full of gin.
And we have Brett down all these dum-dum shots before he lets anybody in.
Brett, would you do a shot of gin?
Oh, for sure. I mean, depending on the gin, but you know, I like that juniper berry, that very unique taste. Yeah, I like gin.
Okay. What do you mean depending on the gin? Is there a gin you wouldn't do a shot of?
I'm not trying to be a snob, but I think gin is one of those liquors that really falls off the map if you go too far down the shelf.
Yeah. If you're garnishing it with like an air freshener tree, you think it's probably bad.
Yeah, and that's just for a shot. I mean, if we're talking about gin and tonic, you know, give me well, baby, all day. I don't care what it is.
Got it.
But for a shot, you know, I'm gonna need some
quality
Bombay Sapphire or above, please.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Well, well, well.
Yeah, we got Qui-Gon Jinn up in here.
Well, ask a question, get an answer.
Yeah. Oh, geez. That's the most arrogant thing I ever heard in my life.
Very confrontational.
This guy's mad at us, I think.
Yeah.
Ask a question, get an answer. Sorry. Thought it was a comedy show, but apparently Brett's already worked up into a fighting stance already. We're joking around. Ask a question, get an answer.
Jesus, that sounds like something that a bad guy would say after beating someone up in a movie.
Yeah.
As he's leaving or a good guy. Depends he was on the so, movie, I guess.
He was so desperate. Yeah. He was so desperate to be that bad guy, Julie, that I made a 5-star Qui-Gon Jinn joke and he powered right past it.
Yeah.
Do you know who Qui-Gon Jinn is?
I don't think I do.
He's from Star Wars.
Oh, God.
Played by, name him, Brett.
Oh, that would be the star of Taken, Liam Neeson. Oh, yes. It's David Schwimmer? Maybe I have that wrong.
I don't know. No. Who is it?
Is it Liam Neeson?
It is Liam Neeson.
Okay.
Featuring Qui-Gon Jinn. Musical guest.
The Gin
Dexter
Blossoms.
Jetster and the Gin Blossoms.
And your host, Ginny Thomas.
Ginny Thomas is finally hosting SNL. I thought she would be a 360 host where she would do the music
the
also.
The music and then introduce herself.
Yeah.
She'd Ladies be like, and gentlemen, me.
Hi, everybody. Yeah.
You know what I would love to see, though? Truly, just like Ginny Thomas, someone pushing her down those stairs as the doors open at SNL, and you just see her go, ooh, ah,
yeah, and you hear her just go, bump, bump, like Pac-Man when she faints.
And then you hear Clarence Thomas at the back of the studio go, my bride!
Yeah. Hear Clarence Thomas, because he's drumming for her band.
Do you think he takes off the robe when he drums?
No, I think he drums in
the
robe.
Do you think it gets caught ever? Like if he's trying to do a hi-hat?
I think the robe allows for a certain style of drumming that he could get away with. Maybe he's got brushes and he's playing kind of like a... Like as if, because I figured Ginny Thomas would come out and play, she'd do her cover of Chris Isaak's Wicked Game.
I was thinking Green, Green Grass of Home, but I think that's kind of similar. It's a totally similar vibe. I think you and I are completely latched onto the same vibe.
Did anybody watch SNL last night? No, I missed it. Well, who was the host? Well, the host Ginny and Thomas. Musical guest was Ginny Thomas. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's
Insurrectionist maniac
wife. Yeah. She was musical guest also. What on earth did she do? Well, she did Wicked Game by Chris Isaak and then did Green Grass of Home.
She and Clarence Thomas pretended to like dance on the beach sexy the way they do in that video.
You know that Clarence Thomas. Yeah. He would have come out during the monologue. Like that's where they'd reveal he's on. Like she'd be. She'd be talking, and then Clarence Thomas would kind of slide into frame and be just like, be like, Ginny, I told you, you know, like,
and then the audience would be like just too confused to applaud. They know, they would know that they should, but they would just be,
but they don't want to.
No, they're in purgatory somehow.
Yeah. Now, JulieKlausner.com. Today, we have a gift to share.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that you are a gift.
Well, I'd like to say you're a gift.
And I'd like to say that we are a gift and the show is a gift.
Yes.
But I don't want to rest on our... Oh, no, you're going to hate what I'm about to say.
What?
Laurels or Hardee's.
Laurels or Hardee's.
Neither are Laurels nor are Hardee's. Shall we rest?
Yeah.
What if that would be good when we print double threat money. That can be the thing that it says under the, you know, photo of Jimmy Jazz or whatever.
Laurels.
Sorry. Neither are Laurels nor are Hardee's. Shall we rest? On which, something, I don't know. Rest. Work it out and put it in Latin. Yeah.
What if they sold Christmas laurels at Hardee's? Sorry to do that while you're drinking water. I apologize for saying the dumbest thing I've ever said.
And they're edible? Think they're edible? It's like after the seventh person died, they realize they had to stop.
Yeah, and they're just like... Is that the Laurel and Hardy music or is that the Three Stooges?
I don't know, but... I don't understand how the Laurel and Hardy dance was ever considered comedy. Just because it's not like Fred and Ginger. Because when Fred and Ginger danced, you're like, that's what love looks like. That's just, that's when someone says, I'm in love. You picture that.
Yes.
But when Laurel and Hardy are dancing, you're like, that's hilarious.
That's what I'm
one
like.
One is different size-wise than the other, right? Mm-hmm.
That's usually when I start Googling suicide machines. If I'm watching Laurel and Hardy, I'm searching, how hard is it to build a suicide machine?
People go to see your setup. They're like, I think Tom's an editor now. Yeah. He's got two screens.
He's got two screens. Can you turn on your own suicide machine?
Or do you need to buy a rubber hand on a broom handle? Is it a crank or a button?
I don't
Is it like
know.
A slot machine where it's an old timey lever?
Should hook up one of those electric skateboard things all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to power it.
So we are both gifts. The show is a GIF.
Yes. And we are going to share our gift with you today. Today, down and dirty, meat and potatoes,
loose and lazy,
fun,
a little bit crazy.
This is like if you went and you opened up a cereal box and it had just the berries, not just oops, all berries. This, you open a cereal box, it's just filled with the prizes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's basically junk food for your head.
Why don't they do that ever? One out of every 100 boxes is just filled with prizes.
For the same reason they don't give out Christmas laurels at Hardee's. People would eat them and they would die. People are stupid. They think, oh, this is a food place. It's probably food. And the next thing you know, you have to pay a veterinarian to remove toys from your stomach because that's what veterinarians do.
And I am tired, so tired of putting on dog ears and going to the vet to figure out what's going on with what I ate because I got to get cheap x-rays.
Here's the thing. Tom and I are going to testify in front of Congress a lot.
Yeah.
We haven't done it yet, but once we start, I mean, it's all about who you know. And then once you break in, you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of the things that we're going to testify in front of Congress about is, first of all, we're going to talk about Frank Zappa talking in front of Congress to Al Gore.
Yeah. Because
we think that's interesting. And we want to remember And that'll be fun and cool. But in addition, we also want to talk about healthcare. And during that, we're going to dress up like two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dress up like a big sheepdog.
Yeah. And I'm going to dress up like a poodle.
And we're going to sit down behind the mics, and then we're going to like take a drink of water, but it's like not, it's just going to run down our felt tongues because they're not really mouths. Yeah, we'll lap it. And then they'll say, Poochie, Shaggles.
Yeah.
Would you like to address Congress? And we both nod our costumed heads.
Yes.
And then we remove our heads and you see that we're people and everyone freaks out.
We were human the whole time.
And then we say, ladies and gentlemen of the Congress, we are tired of pretending to be dogs in order to get health care.
That's exactly how it's going to go down.
Yeah.
And it's going to work. I can feel it. And we're going to win everybody over. And then Ted Cruz is going to just have to stand up and applaud.
Right. And then we're going to list all of the toys that we swallowed.
Is that bad? I'm starting to warm up to him.
Oh, I mean, it's inevitable. Like, he's cute. He's great. He's smart.
Cool. He's cool.
He's super cool.
Yeah.
His beard is his beard makes so much sense on his face. Yeah. I can't even remember a time when he didn't have it.
Yeah. Now he looks rugged. Now I'm just like, yeah, this dude is from Texas. Look at that beard. I feel like I'm in a Western.
Right. Like he's going to fell a tree.
Yeah. Like he's Rick Ross.
Exactly.
Brett.
Yes.
What do you got for us?
Oh, I've got so much today. This is going to be a really great. I mean, it's already a great episode.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Thank you, Brett.
Just like the universe itself, you can bring something out of nothing. It's truly amazing to watch it, to behold it week after week.
Because
if you think this is scripted or if you think this is planned out, I'm going to tell you right now, a little behind
the scenes.
Who's
saying it's scripted?
It's so good. But one might be tempted to think that it is scripted.
Or reading off of the script.
I don't know. Somebody
has
out there.
Has anyone ever posited that?
No, no, no one, okay. No one has. I guess. I'm answer. Addressing
like anticipate. Okay.
Well, Brett, if anybody asks that, you know what you should say to them.
What's that?
You should yell at them, and then when they get mad, you go, "Well, you ask a question, you get an answer."
I've got so many great clips for you today. Oh boy,
this guy's mad. All we did was a 4-hour promotion of his weird movie podcast.
We are waiting for our check. We're waiting for our checks.
Yeah, all everybody's saying to me is, "What's up with that? Was Brett okay?" That's all I've heard last 2 days. Is Brett okay?
All I've heard is, "Where's your check?" And admittedly, it's from me.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great launch week on Weekend at Bergman's. You can follow us at Weekend Bergman.
Because we have done things in the past where it's like, you know, BetterHelp wants to sponsor this thing, and we do a thing.
Yeah. BetterHelp. What do you think BetterHelp is? They're going to check out Weekend at Bergman's. What do you think the copy on that one's going to be? Hey, everybody. It's me. You want to be Brett or Joe for this?
I'll be Joe.
You be Joe. Hey, everybody. Yep. It's me, Brett Boehm from Weekend at Bergman's.
And I'm Joe Cilio from Weekend at Bergman's.
And we clearly are falling apart.
Brett,
we need help,
Brett, shut the fuck up. Brett, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, I'm just trying to do the thing here, and I'm just trying to be honest about my emotions.
Better. Well, your emotions are totally unhinged, man. You should be taking care of that before the show.
Maybe we should check out BetterHelp Health. I don't know which one it is.
Why don't you do your work, bro? Your whole thing is like, I do work before the show.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You suck shit. Nobody likes you, Brett.
Frighteningly accurate for this week, for episode 2, which we already recorded.
Nobody
almost
likes
a verbatim
you.
Reading of the transcript of episode 2.
Julie, you're supposed to be reading the double threat script. Now you're reading the Weekend at Bergman's script.
I need a second computer screen like yours that tells you when to go to when the off season in Scandinavia is to get a crack at the old Kevorky.
The old Kevorky.
The Kevorky 3000. Beep boop. How can I relieve your pain? Press 1 for
injection.
Press 2 for question mark. I will always press 2. I love a surprise.
Look, Kevorky 3000, just let me give me a minute to think about what I want to do here.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your answer. Press 1 for injection. Press 2 for question mark.
I don't know. Question mark 2.
You have selected question mark. Watch out. And then like a big mallet comes out of the Kevorky and just bops you on the head.
Bonk.
Yeah.
Are you dead? Press 1. Just kidding. You can't. The Kevorky's a wise acre.
Yeah, Kevorky sounds like could be the star of Short Circuit if that gets rebooted.
Kevorky was programmed for one thing, letting people die with dignity.
Yeah, and it's exciting. You can listen to next week, speaking of Short Circuit, episode 3 of Weekend at Bergman's is 400 Blows and Short Circuit. Check that out.
Kwanzaa Squatty.
What if these guys?
Yeah. The commercial for Squatty Potty.
What if these guys?
Yes.
Just like the dumb movies with their podcasts, you start to realize I think they're.
They choose the bad ones every time. Yeah,
every week, like 15 episodes in, it's like they always choose the stupid movie. I think they're dumb.
That's the thing, is they're going to have to change the title to like why dumb movies are better.
Because they're like making these intellectual cogent arguments about how Weekend at Bernie's is a social satire of the 80s. But then like they make all these points and they're going back and forth. But then like the actual scorecard is they picked this dumb one 15 times in a row. I think they're dumb. why do they sound so smart in their discussions?
The dumb guys in which movie's dumber. That's just what it becomes. It's which movie's dumber.
Yeah. And then they'll start to get into like, this week on the show, we're doing Dumb and Dumber versus Dumber and Dumberer. And you're like, guys, one is not that smart. Just because it's like.
Their definition of the word highbrow becomes a little elastic.
Yeah.
Well, tune in this Friday to Weekend at Bergman's. Find out which one we pick. We also respond to Tom and Julie's podcast Rescue on this week's episode. So if you want to go further down that old wormhole, join us on Friday.
Jeepers. Okay.
Speaking of people doing their best, this is our old friend, Tim Ear. Remember Tim Ear, the reporter who joined us to address that viral video?
Yes.
Yes. And Tom's going to say he ignored him. Tom,
sorry,
do you feel like he ignored you?
No, I was okay with him. We connected over craft work.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Tim, thanks to Rebecca for bringing this to our attention. I felt like, just to be fair to Tim, I had to bring this into the show. This is very cool. Tim, I think this past week they had some flash flooding in Tim's area in West Virginia. And somebody snapped some pictures of him. This wasn't like a photo op or anything, but somebody snapped some pictures of Tim Ear helping his neighbors and animals trapped by this flash flooding.
Wow.
Wait, and Brett, is it okay if we contextualize like that Tim Ear was kind of like, I don't know, like when we first heard of him, he was kind of a bad guy because this reporter, Tori Yorgi, was hit by a car. And he seemed to be a little dismissive of it on the
air. He did has had a real journey on this show because that viral video that he was in, it appeared that he was kind of insensitive to this reporter who got hit by a car while on location.
He had him on to redeem himself.
Yes. So a real redemption story here. And this is, I think, the final step in the redemption. We see him carrying a dog there through like knee deep water and out helping.
We're sure he didn't kidnap that dog after he started that. Blood.
Like there's not a little kid 10 feet away going like, hey, that's my dog.
That's a great point, actually. I wonder if we can get some wider frames on these photos. They do appear to be cropped a little bit. So maybe I'm not getting the full story here.
Or if that dog is wearing a vest that says, do not pet me if your name is Tim.
I will say, if this is on the up and up, though, Tim Ear, You done good.
Attaboy.
Yeah, you done good, Tim here. Look at him. Wading through that that thigh-high water, carrying a pooch to safety.
I love carrying dogs.
Yeah, me too. I do it all the time.
You hold them like babies. You hold them like the Gone with the Wind poster. That's fun.
I do. I hold
them
like
over your shoulder like you're going to burp them. That's also fun.
Yeah. Some days I do the Gone with the Wind poster. Other days I do the Fletch Lives poster. I just decide how I'm feeling.
Well, good on you, Tim. Keep up the good work out there in West Virginia. And speaking of friends of the show, this first clip here is from friend of the show, Max, who we know who helped out with our last live stream.
Max Beasley, my friend.
Yes, Max is the best. And Max, this is in reference to last week's show when you were talking about Sam Kinison. Max wanted to know if
we love Sam Kinison.
Well, you're going to love this clip then. Max wanted to know if we were aware of Sam Kinison's, looks like a kind of self-produced, he did a sort of self-produced cover and music video of the song Mississippi Queen by Mountain. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of this?
I knew Wild Thing, but I didn't know that. I mean, obviously, I know his talent is, you know, goes above and beyond. I'm so glad he's doing other, you know, is that a graveyard? Is this the video?
It's a graveyard. He did a music video. I think he changed the lyrics of the song. And he also, there's some, like, he's kind of in here parodying some Sinead O'Connor music videos that were popular at the time. So there's a lot going on
good.
In this. Yeah.
She really needed someone to take the piss out of her. By someone who looked like he smelled like piss.
Yeah, by somebody who, if he was alive when they were making the Lord of the Rings movies, if he came into audition for Gollum, they would have said, "We wish you didn't come in makeup. We just want to focus on your performance. You didn't have to come in full Gollum makeup."
They also would have said, "The men's room's down the hall. You smell like piss."
Yeah, please just wash up before you come in.
All right, so here's Sam Kinison doing his version of Mississippi Queen.
Tell the story, Sam.
But they won't believe me.
Oh, my God. So he's got a Mylar balloon, and he's walking around a graveyard.
Everybody gather round.
Oh, my God.
I've got a story to tell. Have a Mississippi Queen. Help me wind up in jail. To be a preacher, had a good life, had a wonderful family, always tried to do right. When I saw her in church, knew she didn't come to stay. She looked at me and said, "I've got a confession. Don't tell anyone, but I'm the back door to heaven."
I mean, he did have a really pretty voice. What is he doing now?
Well, he's doing the other.
Did I just see his feet?
He's doing the other the other Sinead O'Connor video. I think it's Mandika was the song, right?
Emperor's New Clothes is the other Sinead O'Connor. Oh, I'm sorry. You're saying the other Sinead O'Connor video he's doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Emperor's New Clothes is that one. And then the other one, of course, is Nothing Compares to You.
Okay.
I am so sickened by this.
He sucks.
Because he is doing the extreme close up Sinead O'Connor mm-hmm. with his head shaved.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's full. Oh, my God. He makes Divine at the end of Female Trouble when they shaved her head and her face had been scarred with acid and she's about to go to the electric chair. He makes her look like young Brigitte Bardot.
Oh, God.
In a bikini with a high ponytail. He is so hideous. And then he's jumping around in these like silk pajamas and his legs and feet are so small compared to his like trunk and like look at how tiny his lower body. It looks atrophied.
No, he looks like Marlon Brando,
Moreau.
Like yeah, that's he just like.
The island of Dr. Kinnison.
Never has anybody been. Yeah. Dr. Kinnison.
Oh, please. Like Man, Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. I'd rather get treated by Dr. Pepper. If I was sick, you got two doctors available, Dr. Pepper or Dr. Samuel Kinnison. Oh, you know what his middle name was?
Tell me.
Burl. I'm pretty sure it was Burl. Well, look.
He and James Earl Ray had at least that in common, at least one thing in common.
Thank you, Max. I think.
Thank you, Max. That was absolutely horrible. And I'm not usually someone that says, oh, that, you know, a cemetery is like hallowed ground or hallowed ground, whatever you want to call it. Oh, is that why it's called Halloween? Because those are hallowed grounds? I love learning.
I love etymology.
Me too.
Where it's just like, ah, yes, this word.
And you just decide that it's the same and you don't ask anybody. And you're like, oh, I love learning.
I just love words. I love wordplay. Words.
Yeah, I love words and I love wordles.
Yeah, I love wordles and I love
puzzles.
I love wordles. I love Pokemon Go, trying to find a Squirtle. I love getting around, looking all around town. There's a Snorlax in that car wash. Head on down. Julie.
Yes. Mississippi Queen.
Yeah. Now, Brett, do you like Mountain, the band Mountain?
You know what? I don't know much about them besides Mississippi Queen. I'm fascinated with that, Felix, Pappalardo. Is that who that is in Mountain? Yes. Was kind of a, you know, I'm always, interested in sort of the audio engineers of that era. Mm-hmm. I think he was also kind of a producer engineer, right? So it's a band I would love to know more about. I'm fascinated with what I know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
what do you think, Tom?
I'd say you check out Nantucket Sleigh Ride next. You want to hear one?
Cool.
Yeah, go with Nantucket Sleigh Ride.
Appreciate that.
What else you got?
All right. Well, I got one more rough
one. Let me just say one thing first, though.
He's pointing his finger.
I just had an idea for an episode of Double Threat we could do that will involve the listeners. It's called the Double Threat Torture Chamber.
Okay. And where
the listeners work up clips. Where it's a matter of who taps out first. We see who can. It's like an endure. It's like a Clockwork Orange, a toothpick holding the eyelids open thing. Let's see what listeners can, if they can pull clips, and we just see who, whether Tom or Julie say no moss.
Should we do that at the Forever Dog Studios in person so that we can have Brett putting eye drops in our eyes as they're being pried open with toothpicks?
What do you think about that, Brett? Wouldn't that be a fun episode?
That is a fantastic idea. I think a fantastic idea. Listeners, go ahead and start sending in clips for the Double Threat Torture Chamber. And actually, this next one might be a candidate for the Torture Chamber. We're going to go ahead and watch it now.
People are already doing it. That's the other thing, Tom. I think, I don't even think the listeners are waiting for an invitation to do precisely that.
But now we're going to,
now we're soliciting it.
Now they're going to have, to quote the great composer Brahms, the fast lane to Eros.
I wish people would distinguish which Brahm they're talking about.
Yeah.
It really bums me out. I don't know if it's Brahm K or Brahm S.
Yeah. Brahms. Dun, 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 dun. Right?
That's not his.
Dun, 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 dun.
That was a banger, though.
But do you know what the great part of that song is? It starts off like, dun, 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 dun. Mm-hmm. Dun, 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 dun. You're just like, how loud is this thing gonna get? And then Brahms goes, oh,
not Brahms.
And you're like, but it's quiet now. I can barely hear this thing. And he goes, oh, banana, banana. That's when you realize that Brahms, not unlike Kurt Cobain, was influenced by the Pixies.
Pixies! And that is sort of like a car alarm, because you never know what it's going to do next. Yeah. You just know that no one cares.
Yeah. Just know. Just, that should be a shirt. Just know no one cares.
Pretty much.
All right, let's go back into the torture chamber for one more clip here, and then I got a palate cleanser for you. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel here. But okay. This next clip is another comedian of the Kinison era. This is Joe Piscopo, and this was sent in by another friend of the show, Bob Sellers. Usually don't say last names, but he's such a good friend of the show, Bob Sellers.
Of course, Bob.
Let me guess, is this Kimberly?
No, this is, I had never seen this before, and it was, and was truly
was Kimberly his babysitter that he like left his wife for?
And then he recorded a song that was like a Bruce Springsteen type song, like a tribute to her. It's like, I burn inside for you, Kimberly, Kimberly, Kimberly. That's one of the most legendary things. But I want to see this, and then we follow it with Kimberly.
Mm-hmm. This is an old and Bob Sellers, follow him at _Bob every week. I mean, incredibly amazing. Talented graphic designer, and does custom logos for the episodes every week that are just out of this world.
Bob does stuff for Double Threat, does stuff for Best Show. Bob is a true champ.
He's a talent.
Yeah, hell of a guy. Super sweet, super talented. Give him a follow. And this clip, so this is a like, I think it's like a computer video game from the CD-ROM era. It looks to be from that kind of mid-90s Windows 95 era. It's a computer game called Celebrity Poker. And Joe Piscopo is one of the contestants. I'm going to go ahead and bring this up now. He's one of the contestants or players, poker players. And
Morgan Fairchild, I see. Joe Piscopo.
And Danny McBride is one of his characters.
Who is that?
I want to say maybe Jonathan Frakes from
Star Trek.
Riker from Star Trek mm-hmm. Next Generation.
Yeah. And thankfully they got a really great location with the Hollywood sign popping right in the background.
I don't remember the Hollywood sign having like
lights.
Really like or no, just like spaces in between the two L's and then the Y and the W, like enough space to walk. You know, to have like two other letters. That
you mean enough space between like the first and second L so that it will accommodate the framing in your window at home?
Because you can see the Hollywood sign in a window, but it's never, no letters are obscured. So you know what you're reading.
Yeah. No, it's just in case you're like H-O-L, letter I can't
up.
Make out, then a Y, then a W, then
I'm
an O.
I'm done.
Can't make out the one, next one, then a D. I don't know what that says.
Give me a hint.
So one thing that you can do, this is an interactive game, and one thing that you can do here is you can prompt the players to do things besides play poker, including you can prompt the Joe Piscopo character to tell a joke. So this is a little run through of all the jokes that Joe Piscopo tells in this video game.
Oh my
here.
God.
All right, getting a little boring here. Let me tell you a quick joke. There's a crash, you see, a plane crash. Killed in the crash, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Vice President Gore. And they're up in heaven before the throne of God. And God looks at Bill Clinton. He goes, you know, President Clinton, for better or for worse, you were the president of one of the great, great societies of all time, and for that you can sit on my right side. And then he says to Al Gore, Vice President Gore, you were the vice president of a truly great land. For that, you can sit on my left side. And he looks at Hillary, and God says, what can I do for you, madam? And Hillary looks at God and says, you're sitting in my seat.
which little tab does it get where it just like initiate suicide sequence?
What could you do to get him to pull the pin on a grenade and not let go of the grenade?
I want to see the Kevorky 3000 roll up on the screen behind him and be like,
press
hello,
one.
Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Does he sound like Urkel? That'd be great if this Kevorky 3000 is like
the Kevorky. Yeah.
Or he sticks a needle in Joe Piscopo's neck and then he's like, did I do that?
And Joe Piscopo thinks it's steroids, so he's into it at first. And then he gets very sleepy. He goes, nah. Kimberly. That joke was great. I liked how he started it. He said, things are getting a little boring here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the best when you're hanging out with someone and they point out that things are getting boring and then they tell a joke?
Yeah, great joke. Like first of all, he should have been investigated by the FBI for that joke. for a joke where he's basically willing the death of the president.
And the vice president.
And the vice president.
Of a great land.
Of a great
land. The things that people say in these jokes are so fucking stupid.
Yeah, to like facilitate the first and second beat, they'll say anything. Yeah. All right, let's see another joke from old Joe.
For another joke, guys. Here we go. So there's a bus crash, no survivors.
See? All of his jokes start with some sort of crash.
The cops come to investigate, and they go up to the monkey. They say, hey, monkey. You know what went on here in this bus crash? Monkey goes. Cop goes, hey, monkey, well, what happened before the bus crash? What were these people doing? So the monkey goes up. Oh, they were partying. The cop says, they were partying, huh? Monkey goes, yeah, party. What else were they doing? Monkey goes, oh, they were drinking, huh? They were drinking, huh? Yeah. Monkey goes, yeah, drinking. What else were they doing, monkey? The cop says. Monkey goes, oh, they were kissing, making out, stuff like that. Monkey goes, yeah. Well, the cop says, well, monkey, what were you doing? What else was going on? And the monkey goes, monkey was driving and watching at the same time. Let's get back to the game. Sorry, guys.
Oh, my God.
He knows he's bombing.
Oh, my God. He's bombing.
So bad. He's bombing on a CD. It's a CD bomb.
It's a CD bomb.
This is the first ever CD bomb.
Yeah. Oh, Joe Piscopo, you suck. You're terrible.
What a nightmare.
And he's like, hey, monkey, what happened next? Oh, they were kissing and stuff like that? Like, that's the funniest thing in the whole thing. Oh, they were kissing and stuff like that? Ah, they were drinking, huh? Yeah, they were kissing and stuff like that? Any chance you can find Kimberly?
Yep.
Kimberly, for sure. One second.
It's just also like he's probably like, I like doing this joke because I get to act out the monkey parts.
Yeah. A lot of people tell that joke. They just don't sell the monkey as much as they need to put it over the top. I told that joke. Sure, Morgan Fairchild didn't like it. Jonathan Frakes didn't like it. But you like it at home, CD-ROM fan. If you're a fan of Joe Piscopo, poker, and CD-ROMs, boy, have we got the package for you.
It's a package of Anthrax. What's this? This is the video for
Kimberly. I wondered why Joe never ages. He's in that thing the whole time. Okay, I asked this audience, is mostly from New Jersey, and again, I know we broadcast to most of the audience is actually in New York, but I was going to do something for you tonight, and I'm going to ask you to stay with me. I wrote a song for Kimberly Driscoll, my fiance, right? And I got to tell you, I would never do this on, like, if it was like, you know, like a national HBO special or something like that. So I'm going to ask you, it's a straight
song. He's not still with her, is he?
I know my mother likes to want to sing. So are you with me on this? Can we do a song for you, like a song?
Did she enter the witness protection program?
Stay with me. This is for, I was so hesitant to do it, but I feel at home among family and friends, so this is for Kimberly.
Wait, I'm sorry, could you pause it for a second?
Stay with me, guys.
He's already said twice he's appealed for the audience to stay with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's given like at least two or three indications that he knows he shouldn't be about to do this.
No, he knows it sucks. Even he knows deep down this sucks.
And he's telling it to himself, well, we're with friends and family. You're not. You're on television.
Yeah. Get ready, Julie.
All right.
Here we go.
ate a lemon.
I'll burn inside for you every day. I don't know what to do, don't know what to say. You know I need you, girl, desperately. Oh, I need you.
Look at that mullet.
Kimberly.
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 Oh, no. Kimberly. It's like a karaoke video.
Yeah.
Kimberly. Kimberly. They say it's all wrong. We know it's all right.
She's backstage.
I don't understand. Oh, what your daddy don't see. My love wasn't planned. We were meant to be. Kimberly. 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 There's evil forces working here, girl, they're trying to pull us apart.
Wait, what? Hold on, can you pause it? I was with him until he got to this, like, paranoid schizophrenic. What are you, David Berkowitz?
There's evil forces working here trying to pull us apart.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You mean the laws of your marriage?
Or, like, or her father? Because he mentioned the father in it. All right, can we hear a little bit more Kimberly, please?
You was clearing through it straight from my heart. Mom, why don't they just let us be? You're a woman, I'm a man. Can you take my hand? Cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Tree fly.
Maybe the worst thing to ever come out of New Jersey, Joe Piscopo.
I burn inside for you every day. Girl, I don't know what to do.
Do you think he's friends with Chris Christie?
His face looks like a catcher's mitt. He's one of these guys. Hit pause, yeah. Please. He's one of these guys, when he got in shape, it didn't work for him. It just made him look more like that monkey in that joke he was telling.
He looks like... He looks like when you
look at
you
that
make
picture
a,
right there, frozen right there.
Were they kissing and making out?
Yeah, they were what kissing and stuff like that.
And stuff like that.
They were kissing, making out, stuff like that.
His face to me looks like when you're making a bed and it has a comforter that's like way too soft and downy and you like accidentally sit on it or like put a bag on it.
Yeah.
And then you get up and you're like, oh God.
The only thing I would add is that then you pull the thing away and you realize there's just barf under the comforter. That's then it's like him.
Or you're like, what's that smell?
Yeah, it smells gross in here. Oh, someone threw up underneath all
underneath the comforter.
Yeah. Brad, can you pull up the cover of Joe Piscopo was on the cover of a fitness magazine?
Oh God, fitness gun then. In my mouth.
Just like Joe Piscopo fitness cover story or something. Let's see.
For men who want to look like, feel like, and be like Joe Piscopo. What's it called? Piscopo Health?
Let's see if this is it.
Oh, there it is.
No,
and that's Kimberly.
It's called Muscle and Fitness. Is that Kimberly?
Yeah, that is Kimberly.
I hate how oily his arm is because it looks like the rest of his body isn't oily.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, just give me one oily arm next to Kimberly.
Look at that. Yeah, that arm. It's like Hellboy. You attach that right arm of doom.
Look at the font they used to be wacky.
He's fun. Guys, we're going to have fun with this month's Muscle and Fitness. Joe Weider's Muscle and Fitness.
Who's that?
That quotation there is, sorry, I'm stronger, more muscular than at 20 is the subtitle of the interview.
Yeah, because you started exercising. No, not much of a shocker. That's the dumbest quote ever. Yeah, no, because you're lifting weights now. Of course you're stronger. Were you lifting weights when you were 20? No.
No.
Okay. Well, there's the answer right there.
Were they making out and stuff like that?
Yeah, they were kissing, making out, stuff like that.
I think it's important for men to know that they can work out all they want and be huge losers.
Yeah.
I think Joe Piscopo is a good embodiment of that. Maybe he's a good role model in a way like that you could say, well, you could hit the gym and have and be shredded and mm-hmm. still be the biggest loser ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It won't make a difference. It
didn't fix it.
It probably made it a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. Julie, can I tell you a joke?
It's getting kind of boring in here.
I got to say, guys, Double Threat's getting a little boring today. I'm going to tell you a joke.
I think I'll Joe Piscopo
gets in a motorcycle crash.
God. Yeah, I like it. All right, keep going.
He's dead. And he's going up to the pearly gates. And he's up there. And then he runs into, he's waiting his turn to get in front of the St. Peter to ask what, there's a monkey there. And Joe's like, hey, monkey, how'd you die? And the monkey's like, and he's like, you slipped on a banana peel? Oh, you threw a banana peel in the road. Well, if you didn't slip on it, who did? I did. My motorcycle.
So, yeah, so they were kissing and making out, stuff like that.
All right.
Amazing. Thank you, Bob. That was horrifying. No, Tom, you said something about a gift earlier.
Oh, I have a gift for Brett.
Brett!
What?
We talked about a food stuff on the show.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, and you had never tried it. Julie has tried it. I have tried it.
Mm-hmm.
It's this, bro.
Oh, wow.
Lenny and Larry's complete cookies.
Oh, that looks, I am famished.
We want you to eat it
good.
And tell us what you think.
Okay. Yeah. Happy to.
Come on
and
in.
And for those of you who don't know, this is the cookie that I confused for being the two out of the three Stooges at one point because I was drunk. Because I only eat these cookies when I'm either drunk or, I don't know, like, it's a gas station kind of situation.
Yeah, no, these are gas station cookies.
Yeah, so if you get, like, a coffee or something and you dip them, like, you won't be hungry anymore.
Oh, no, this is a very filling cookie.
Yeah, because it tastes bad. It's like a yoga mat.
Yeah.
What kind of that cookie? Monkey?
What kind?
You want to eat a yoga mat? What were they doing on the yoga mat, monkey? They were making out and stuff like that. All right,
so Brett's
Brett.
Got a Lenny. And for people, no, these are cookies. Julie ate one. I eat them occasionally and keep waiting for them to get better than they are.
They never will.
I mean, I'm liking the stats on these. 16 grams of protein, that's per cookie. 10 grams of fiber.
Keep looking at that because it'll distract you from how they taste. And those chocolate chips are definitely, I think that they are like pencil erasers that have been darkened.
Yeah.
Like erasers that go on those like mechanical pencils, those really tiny little erasers. Mm-hmm. I think texturally they're similar. We're not insulting them. If they want to sponsor us, we'll say something nicer, but.
We'll just blame this on Podcast The Ride. We'll say that they were the ones bad-mouthing Lenny and Larry's.
What flavor did you get?
It's a chocolate chip. And first point in the pro column here, this package came apart like nothing. Super easy to open.
Sure.
We got some Nature Valley granola bars in the kitchen. I literally just have to go in there with scissors. I can't get those things open with my bare hands.
Tom, you're sharing a kitchen with Brett now that you guys work in the same office. You see Brett charging into the kitchen with a pair of scissors, snipping at the air.
Yep.
How do you feel?
These are the things I try to not look at in the office. They're the things I try to look away.
He comes in with scissors in his hand going,
all right, let's get the taste tested. What does the cookie look like to you? Do you like the way it looks? Do you like the texture of it in your hand?
I do. Texture is pretty good. It is. It's a big.
It's a big cookie.
I would say it's pretty thick. It's not a thin cookie. It's thick. It appears to be a good kind of. you know, moisture to consistency. Not too dry, but also no, not
get ready for
falling
that.
Apart.
Not so, too dry. Yeah, wait, that thing's you'll in your
eat
mouth.
You'll eat your words.
All right, here we go. Lenny and Larry's.
Lenny and Larry's chocolate chip experience. Brett is on the Lenny and Larry train.
This is what I call the point Brett is at is the cement slowdown when the cookie turns into wet cement in your mouth.
And you're like, oh, my God.
Work hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still working on that cookie. Okay.
He's thinking about he's inscrutable. Now he looks like he's thinking. What's the verdict?
Oh, boy.
What's the taste? What's the taste? Tell us what that was experience was like.
Here's what I'll say. I thought I was going to take a bite of a cookie.
Okay. Wow. He's not calling it a cookie no more.
It just has the taste of like a product, like something that came out of a lab. It's like a food product that was it's a little more of a, it's closer to like a Cliff Bar, you know, something that was like kind of concocted. That was kind of an unnatural experience eating that cookie. Yeah. That's how I would describe it.
And the funny thing is, Brett, cookies in and of themselves are not natural. They are not in nature. Like, this is a fake version of something that doesn't just exist normally. You're eating, to me, Lenny and Larry's cookies taste like if you were in the hospital and they gave you one because there was like an ulterior motive to eating. It's like, oh, there's medicine in that thing.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, well, it's not bad then.
That's right. What I meant. It feels like I'm in a lab experiment. That this is. They're testing out like what if we could put all the nutrients that a person needed into one cookie, and then they could just eat one cookie per day. It feels like that kind of a product.
Yeah. Or to me, it's like if somebody was like, well, people need to do a thing. They need to people who need to like. Accumulate
calories.
And like, well, this cookie is 4,000 calories and it's just so dense and overstuffed with things that are other than what makes a cookie good.
Yeah. Like if you're in some dystopian movie and you live in a small cube in a and then you come out and you go to work and they hand you one of these and then you eat it. It feels like that kind of, it would be like in a sci-fi movie.
It's
about
Soylent Lenny and Soylent Larry.
Yeah.
If Soylent Green is people, why didn't it taste better? Let's think about that.
That's a good point. That is a great point.
Are you going to have another bite or are you going to throw it in the
trash? I'm going to eat this whole thing. I'm starving. Oh, okay, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. And they sell those at Coffee Bean for whatever reason. I don't know why. They sell other things there, too, that you might want
to eat. Lenny, Larry, Coffee Bean.
Yeah.
The merger of the century.
Hey, Cement Mouth, you got any other clips for us?
Oh, yeah. Before I take another bite, because I know that's going to take about 5 minutes to get through with the next bite. I got a little palate cleanser here for you, which is what I need right now. But a palate cleanser. I had never seen this before, and what a delight this was. This is from James from Dublin. James from Dublin. And he submitted this on the Discord. You can also submit clips over there. This clip features a very young Keanu Reeves, pre-fame, pre-movie stardom Keanu Reeves. Apparently, in his younger years, he is from Canada and was like a correspondent on a youth news show in Canada, a local news show.
Okay.
And this is Keanu Reeves reporting on site at a teddy bear convention.
Ooh.
Young Keanu Reeves. I'm going to pull this up right now. It says here, before he was a Hollywood actor, Keanu Reeves worked for CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Company, and did a news report on a teddy bear convention in 1984.
When Going Great sent me to check out the first Canadian International Teddy Bear Convention, I thought I was in for a lot of craziness.
Why are all the bears first name? Teddy. What college did he go to?
That's his first question.
He looks exactly the same.
Oh, there we go. Oz prep. Oh, rah, rah.
What do your friends think about you collecting bears? I've been looking all over for you. We gotta go down to the Bears Only Cafe and talk bearsness. Listen, you know that Bears Necessity Contest? We've got problems. So listen, we'll go down, we'll talk business, and hey, what? Everything will be okay.
What? Why do we treat good-looking people like they're, you know, they have to like act like total fools for us for our amusement?
Mm-hmm.
We're just like, go over there and put sunglasses on and then talk to that bear that also has sunglasses on and be like, hey, I'm going to go over there and like act like you're really into it and fun. And then ask that lady, like, it's like, why can't you just let him be cute?
Julie, I got to just say, it's hard for me to hear you talk about these things knowing this is how people treat you.
Yeah. What people are always people. Like, hey, pretend that this broom is a guitar and play it and do that thing like the Johnny B. Good thing where you're like sticking out your one leg and you're hopping on the other across the stage.
Wasn't that half of your live show where you had a broom and you were like, I'm going to write a little record, going to mail it to my local DJ.
I think we should do, if we do a Double Threat live show, if it is Halloween.
Yeah.
Guitar, we can dress up like, we can dress up like witches and play brooms like guitars.
Yeah. Put that on the list, Brett, of things we could do in a live show.
Brett, do you have a document? Did you write down dum-dums and gin? COVID shots?
Yeah, I did. Sorry. I've been trying to get through my second bite of this cookie for the last 2 minutes. Sorry.
You're gonna go to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, spit it up, and then have like Jessica Alba put her handprints in it. Lenny and Larry's proud sponsors of the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Look at that. Oh, duck down. Okay, so now he's pretending to be attacked by a teddy bear.
Well, as Graham Abbey says, if the bear fits,
wear it.
I'm into it. I gotta say,
I love it.
I love him. Did you see the clip of Young Prince?
No.
Brett, show did me. You see
looking,
that?
No, I'm looking for it now.
Doing what? Tell me what he's doing. Oh no, Tom, are you having a heart attack?
It's one of the most amazing things.
Where do they get these clothes for newscasters?
Yeah, she's. I figured the outfit she's wearing. I expect to see Andy Serkis jumping around.
I was gonna say, like, do they add these in post? Are they gonna say like, wear something green just in case we want to change it out to you wearing like a big like David Byrne style suit?
Yeah, put some ping pong balls on that piece.
You'll be.
Serendipity was a story. Then you are about to watch one of the most fortunate strokes of luck ever here at WCCO.
A mysterious gem unearthed on accident, giving people a glimpse into Minneapolis history through the eyes of a young musical icon. While we all had a feeling who this young boy might be, we knew we needed help from those who knew him best. It's a journey and story you'll only see here on WCCO.
Deep in the WCCO film archives are hundreds, if not thousands, of opportunities to travel back in time.
Well, and on film one reel, canisters.
A treasure lay hidden, untouched for 52 years. April 1970, Minneapolis Public Schools educators went on strike. We restored the film to offer context to the educator strike that happened in the same district just last month.
Okay, so there's the governor's mansion. That's kind of cool.
Matt Liddy is WCCO's production manager.
I grew up in Minneapolis, so Jimmy all Jones. I cared about was looking at cool old buildings from the place I grew up.
But his curiosity turned into a discovery when he saw a reporter interviewing kids as teachers picketed in the background. And it was this young boy jumping around answering a question who left Liddy speechless.
Same
so
smart.
I immediately just went out to the newsroom and started showing people and saying, I'm not going to tell you who I think this is, but who do you think this is? And every single person, Prince.
We didn't have the right equipment to hear the film, so a specialist helped us extract the audio and then we heard his voice.
Are most of the kids in favor of the picketing?
Yep.
How come?
I think they should get a better education too, cause, and I think they should get some more money, cause they be working extra hours for us.
Yes.
Our excitement was. Yeah, you can
hit pause.
Wow.
It's basically goes on to where they go get a Prince expert and somebody who knew him as a kid to watch the footage and confirm that it's Prince, because they track the school, they figure the whole thing out to where it was, and it's exactly where he would have been. So
that is so great.
Isn't that amazing? Awesome.
And he's on the right side of things.
Yeah, he's defending the teachers.
He gets it.
And that's a little kid defending teachers.
Yeah, at that age, they're not supposed to be your friends.
No. You're supposed to say, the teachers stink.
Well, maybe the teachers were sexy motherfuckers.
Look, we don't all have footage of us as children. Not all of us have footage of us talking to a reporter or doing a magic show in a McDonald's. Not all of us have our whole life are living on the in the Truman Show here, so to speak. Some of us are underdocumented. What's
and
the
we're
youngest
living off the grid?
Yeah, what is some young footage of you, Julie?
I showed you the time I was on MTV Kevin Seal.
The greatest.
I was in a skit when I was 10 or 11 years old.
So funny.
And I was really cute and I did a good job. I sat quietly and I played a camper and he played the counselor. And at one point I got an eyeful of the camera and I gave him my whole moneymaker.
Oh, yeah.
My whole punim.
It's great.
We'll watch that at some later date.
Yeah. Play it at a live show.
We'll play it at the live show. If there is a live show, if people really want it. I don't know if they do.
Well, speaking of showstoppers, I've got one last clip to go out on here, and this was sent in by Britt, and I believe it's what the kids call a banger. This is from a Tampa Public Access TV in Tampa, Florida, a show called It's Casual. This appears to be sometime maybe in the late 70s or 80s. It's Casual got an exclusive. They got the world premiere of a music video by an artist named Sandra Prill. And her song, Nasty Boys, Nasty Boys.
The world premiere of Nasty Boys, Sandra Prill. Let's roll that.
So this is a cover of Janet Jackson's song? Are those gentlemen? Are we sure? That's right. Let me tell you, nasty
boys don't mean a thing. Like Marky Smith with the hitting the nasty boys don't ever change. Oh, you nasty boys. I don't like no nasty girl. I don't like a nasty food. You back up a few seconds ago, that pan up on that guy. I just want to make sure I'm seeing what I think I'm seeing.
What's going on in that? Is he, what is that guy doing? Oh my God. I'm blushing.
Yeah, that's what I thought I saw.
Talk about getting your tongue stuck to the pole.
Yeah.
oh my god.
Oh my,
I appreciate her clarifying any, like, you know, like if someone was gonna offer her substitutions for what she's asking for, that she just says, no, I don't want a nasty girl and I don't want a nasty food.
Duh. Like, if you ever listen to The Fall, she sounds like Marky Smith, where he's like, leave the capital. Ah. Like, everything is like, ah.
She'd be amazing in The Fall. They should hire her as a guest vocalist.
She
should join that band. She'd be awesome. Also, she looks great.
Yeah.
I love her look.
She has like a Nancy Allen vibe.
Totally. Yeah. Fur coat. And her hair is clearly permed and set.
Yeah, and watching this, I wish somebody would run a drill through my forehead, like in Body Double. Oh my god! There's a lot of mixed messaging in this thing.
What is he doing? That should be illegal.
There's a guy in the team.
You have a license for that?
Now he's.
So there's a guy in this that is wearing the 80s equivalent of jeggings, like light washed. Yeah. And I don't want to say they're denim because things are moving with a lot more laxity than they would be if it were proper denim. Oh my god!
And the way they're shooting it in front of a table, I don't. This is the greatest. You gotta get Scott Schwartz in here. It looks like he could do some acting in this scene right now.
When did that guy on the left decide to take off part of his jacket?
Now, Brett,
can we just rewind that? Because
I just want to cover
that actor's decision.
Yeah.
Because they're both wearing jackets and they have nothing underneath. Yeah. And she's emoting. And then the guy on the left takes the initiative to be like, I think I know what she wants. And she's got this. Yeah.
She's got two guys behind her, two meatheads who look like the dumber brothers of the guy in Wasp who's on the raft in Decline of Western Civilization 2, uh-huh. Chris Holmes. They look like his dumber brothers.
Or they look like the guys who, if Nelson were doing a gig, they'd call the cops if they entered.
It's like a Nelson porn parody. The band Nelson. If there were porn parodies of bands,
it's called Johnson.
Now, you're definitely not showing us Scotty's X-rated adventure right now, Brett. We're not watching Scotty's X-rated adventure, are we?
I don't believe so, but I have not watched this clip all the way through. So it does seem to be trending in a
right
direction.
Right now, it seems like Scotty's R-rated adventure, but it could get X the second that guy takes another swing. Nice. Because, I mean, you want to talk about monkeys flipping on banana peels. There's a lot of flying bananas in this clip.
I like his tube socks.
These hunks will do anything. Don't you get that sense?
Yeah, these guys would take their clothes off, dance in a video, kill someone for you. They would just have a price list where they'd be like, what do you want? Arson, murder. You want us to have sex with somebody? You want us to kill somebody? Here's the price list.
Well, you just listed
everything. Oh my god.
I think
I might be pregnant. From that. I think there's a good chance I'm currently with child.
Shot of this guy in a white banana hammock just thrusting at the air for like way more repetitions than you'd think would be okay for like a dance.
It's meatheads, 80s meatheads with their frosted hair, wearing leopard patterned pants. What's this guy going to be like? Oh my goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Nasty Boys, the premiere. Well, that was just exactly.
Brett, we need to get Sandra Pearl on the show.
On it.
And I want that guy in the chair. I want Sandra Pearl and at least one of her hunks, preferably Rob.
Yeah.
We want to do a Where Are They Now with the hunks.
Yeah.
Got it. On it.
And now I'm intrigued. I look in the top right corner, Brett, and I'm seeing, I think she's got her version of New Attitude up there, but that might be for another episode.
Yeah, let me vet that one, make sure it stays on the R-rated side and not the X-rated side, and we'll look at that next week. Yeah.
Because if she got hunks to just completely get naked and thrust into the air, I don't know what that is even, besides a good time.
Yeah. This is a good time. You know what else is a good time? And Julie, unfortunately, was a good time, was this episode of Double Threat.
It's a short one, but it's a sweet one.
Yeah. Kind of like a Lenny and Larry's cookie.
Well, how are you doing on that, Brett?
Oh, God. I think
it's actually the opposite of a Lenny and Larry's cookie. It's not
short and sweet. They're long and bland.
Yeah, that cookie takes forever to eat and is terrible.
Yeah, tell me about
it. Don't you wish cookies were more like porridge?
I feel like I've eaten a full sleeve of cookies, and I look over at this thing. I can't be more than a fourth of the way through this thing right now.
You can do it, Brett.
Oh, God. I've had my lunch and my dinner here already.
I believe in you, Brett. And that 10 grams of fiber will serve you well stuck in rush hour traffic getting home. You're like, oh, Amy, I just want to let you know. Just keep the gate open. Might be running in fast today.
With my friends Lenny and Larry.
Yeah, thanks, Lenny and Larry. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to Double Threat, and we will be back with another episode next week. And thanks to everybody who sends in clips, and send in clips for the Double Threat Torture Chamber, where we'll see whether Tom or Julie, who taps out first on torturous clips, and not awful things of like true pain and gross stuff.
Yes.
Keep it in the spirit of the show, okay?
Right, but we'll get buzzers. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll get buzzers, and we'll see who can outlast the other one.
I love it. Like and subscribe, and write to us at doublethreatpod@gmail.com. And if you want a live show, start making noise, because I swear to gosh, we don't hear noise. Yeah. We put away our toys.
What's that, monkey? You want a live show, Double Threat? Yeah, they were funny up on stage. Were they making everybody laugh? Yeah, well, I wish they would do the live show. I should make some noise.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.